16, I was in need of a missionary, amen, and didn't have one. You know, tonight, I know that tonight won't be anything new to most of us, and I don't intend to outdo anyone in sharing any greater truths, but I hope tonight to share something that has been dear to my heart, and it has been being involved in missions giving. Amen?
Amen.
As I think back to probably most of us when we got saved, or when I got saved, I began to grow as a Christian, but the first thing that happened in my life was that I understood the importance of, first of all, of giving my tithes to the Lord and how important that was to do that. And also, as I grew in the Lord, and I think even being in Torrejón, Spain last Sunday night when Pastor Kraft came, and it reminded me of hearing him preach and just the things that he influenced in my life. And it was about giving was one of those things, but it was also about getting involved in missions giving and understanding the principles of it and understanding what I believe still today, that it is the heartbeat of God when it comes to reaching a lost world. And when it comes to missions giving, we have an opportunity to be involved in what God wants us to do, not only individually, but God wants us to do it collectively as a church. So tonight I want to challenge us from the Word of God. I wish you'd take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter number 4. Here's another one, this area of scriptures that I won't go to 2 Corinthians, but we could go back to 2 Corinthians, and the pastor did an eloquent job of going through the church that was at Corinth and how Paul had challenged the church at Corinth. But let's take our Bibles and stand. We're going to turn over to Philippians chapter number 4, and I'm going to just read an area of scriptures there and hope to share some things with you that I believe that Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. And I know, as many of us, if you think about the book of Philippi, it is considered a great chapters and the book of joy in the Christian life. And I believe that we can have great joy when it comes even in giving, when we really understand the impact of what giving can entail and what giving involves. Philippians chapter number 4, I'm going to read here in verse number 10, and I'm going to read down to probably verse number 19. It says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lack opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with me with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house, Lord, to be in the presence of you, Lord, coming to empty me of myself, to ask that you would fill me with your spirit, that we might speak some things tonight that would be a help to your people, be a blessing to my heart, be a blessing to them, that we all might be recipients of what you would have said and done through us in these upcoming days, in this upcoming year when it comes to mission giving. And may the Apostle Paul speak to our hearts from in his writing and his instructions here to the church at Philippi about giving. May it sink in our hearts tonight about the importance of how you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory if we'll be willing to give to the furtherance of the gospel around this world, that we might reach the lost with that are dying and on their way to hell, and what a need we have today in reaching not only our Jerusalem, but in going into the uttermost parts of the world. Bless now, I pray, speak to us in a special way. We love you and praise you, and thank you for all that you've done already throughout these years at Shining Light Baptist Church. But we pray that you would continue to use us in a special way. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. When I think about the Apostle Paul and his writing, I don't believe that the Apostle Paul could say enough about what he had loved about the saints that were at the church at Philippi. If we go back to chapter number 1, as we read there, and it says in chapter 1, and Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which were at Philippi, with the bishop and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the beginning until now, being confident of this very thing, which he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I think about all of the ships and all of the things that Pastor has been talking about, the things that he intend to teach this year, talking about discipleship, fellowship, friendship, stewardship, citizenship, all of the courtship and censorship, worship, and all of the ships that we could talk about even tonight. As Paul is writing in chapter number 1, he's talking to the membership here. He's talking about those that are with the bishop and the deacons at the church at Philippi. But he's also talking about their relationship with God, and grace be unto you and peace from our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It was because of their relationship with him that he could write to them and encourage them. But he was also thankful for the fellowship that he could have with them. When you think about it, it says in verse number 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day even until now. He believed that God had begun a good work in the church at Philippi. And one of the things that Paul was so excited about was what God was doing in the church of Philippi, and the great desire that they had to support him, even in spite of Paul being in prison. Paul talked about it in chapter 1, how he was in prison and some were taking advantage of the gospel, and some was using it for good, some were using it for bad. But yet Paul was excited that even all through all of that, the gospel was being carried forward. But you know, when there's a missionary on the field, they can do only so much when it comes to reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to need somebody that was willing to get behind them and to support them financially. And that's what the church at Philippi was willing to do. And I pray tonight that you and I, when we think about all the missionaries that we have on the field, that we're still willing to do what God would have us to do to help the missionaries to carry out the great commission that's not only been given to them, but the same commission has been given to you and I. And I think back as Paul is writing to this church, and look at with me again, as we can look back in the scripture, look at chapter number 4, and I want to draw your attention to verse number 9. He says, and not many people can say this, but he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Amen. And the God of peace shall be with you. And Paul is writing to say that, look, here I am an example of all the things that I've taught you, all of the things you've learned about me. I want you to do it. Get involved. Because Paul had already been commissioned to carry forth the gospel, and they wanted to be involved, I believe, in what Paul was doing. But I want us to notice something tonight. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now and at last your care of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. I remember years ago when I was in Germany, I believe that's when God really got on my hold of my heart. And I believe one of the young men that was there, we both were deacons in the church. And he was one of the things I remember him saying, one thing we never want to take away from Christians is the opportunity to give. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Shane if he would. Is Shane still back there? He went out. But I wanted to just take a look back at my life. When I say that God will supply, the title of my message tonight is that God will supply your need in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. And I think back to my life. I hope that you all understand that when it comes to meeting our needs or God supplying our needs, it's not always monetary. That's right. God has met so many needs in my life. When I think back to what where I was, what I came from, how I got saved, how I grew in the Lord, and learned how to give by faith, learn how to give sacrificially, as pastors taught us in the last 3 weeks, that we can give by grace. We give out of our abundance, or we can give sacrificially, or we can give by faith. And those are three ways that we can give to the Lord. And I believe that in my Christian life, I have learned to do all of those things. And one of the things that I can say, I rejoice when I look back at how Paul is rejoicing, how they got involved in his life. I can look back in my own life and say how I can rejoice in how God worked in my life. And what I'm going to ask Brother Shane to do for just a moment, as I think back through the times, and Brother Gregory can turn off the lights, I want to show you a picture of something that has really been a blessing to me. When I thought about this message, I wanted to go back and look at where God had led me through. Huh? Mute? Okay. I guess you can tell I don't use it that much, huh? All right.
Come up here just a moment.
Okay. Is the pointer in this, Pastor?
The green button.
The green button. Okay. All right, you can turn them off, Gregory. And tonight, when I think about when I was in Germany, right here, in a place called Herford, Germany. And from here, you can see there's a straight arrow that goes all the way down here to Romania. And I remember meeting, I don't know where you can see it up here, but I thought he was up here, where I met this man that was in a place called Belgium.
Hey.
Is it? It's not showing up here. There it is. In Belgium was when I first met this man that came from Belgium down here into Frankfurt, down here in Mannheim, Luxembourg, came right in here. It was where Herford, Germany, was right about where we were. It's where I first met Pastor. And I think about what a blessing that was and how it's been in my life. I think about all of this area up here. I've been to the Netherlands. I ended up going into Amsterdam. Teresa and I took a trip there and visited some friends that work with her that we tried to share the gospel with. We had friends and people when we went into Belgium, that we went there in Luxembourg and Belgium, went there shopping. And I think about one of the first things, if you all have ever been to our house, we always thought that when we were in Germany, one of the things that we look back and think it was a blessing in our lives when God gave us the opportunity to give the missions in Germany, but he also blessed us with a wall unit that we consider was one of our faith promise giving rewards that God gave us that we got from Belgium. And as we go into Frankfurt, and many people that we went there, missionaries that came to our church came into Frankfurt, Germany, as they flew in there. Mannheim was here. As I go back and I think about my time in Mannheim, there was a young man there that got in some struggles and some problems there that was in prison there in Mannheim. And I went down there to visit him after he had came to this little church here in Herford, Germany, where I led him to the Lord. And a couple of weeks after, he went to prison there in Mannheim. And I went down there to visit him, to take him over to the base there where he could get his ID card made. But you know what? I don't know what happened to that young man, but there was an awakening in his life when he had to go down there in that imprisonment that he was involved in. I think about Stuttgart, where we went down in there many a times to missions conference or to times where we went there and being encouraged in the Lord. I think about Nuremberg was where my brother was where the Nuremberg writings were there in Nuremberg, where I got a chance to go down there and witness and be a part of my brother's life. Who would think two boys from North Carolina would end up in Nuremberg, Germany, and go there and have fellowship where I came to his house and he came to mine's here. When I think about here and going into München or Munich, what we call it, we went there, Teresa and I went there many times visiting. We went to Prague and did some shopping there with one of the guys from our church. We traveled there and went to there in Prague and did shopping. We went into those areas there. And then I think about the trip that we went from Germany here in Herford, Germany. We took a trip all the way across and came into all of these different countries as we passed through Munich or we passed through Stuttgart, Stuttgart, and we came into Austria and came across into Budapest and went into Hungary and crossed over through there and went to Oradea, where it was in Romania that we went there, and there was a missionary there that we supported. But there was a missionary here in Germany, in Stuttgart, or in München, that we went and visit one night as we were making a trip to go to Romania. We went there one night, and I met a brother named Brother Beach, was a missionary that we support there, and I got a chance to go to his house one night. And y'all may have heard me talked about it last year, that we went, a year before last, we talked about it. We went to his house, and I never forget that his wife got up in the middle of the night, and I tell you, brother, she cooked some of the best homemade bread I believe I ever had in my life, and I had grape jelly with it, because grape jelly, most of y'all don't know, is heaven's manna, right? And that bread that she cooked, it was hot and it was good, but they were missionaries that we support there in Munich, Germany, as we went through there. And, you know, one of the things that really gripped my heart was to see when you travel from here and go across all of these countries, the things that you see as you go across there, the people that you see, it's just like here in America. These people need the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. And as you go across there, I'll never forget the first time I went across there, there were ladies that were along the roadway, along the streets. And I was asking Brother Carl, who was the missionary that we supported that lived in Romania, what were these women doing that we saw as we crossed? They were selling themselves or selling out themselves, trying to make a living along these streets and along these roads. And as you go across here, you could just see the change in the atmosphere. You could see the change in the countryside as you go across there. And as we crossed into these countries and went along the way, and as we got into Budapest, and I never forget, as we got into Budapest here, there was a what we call one of the great little American cities that was there. Budapest had just been converted from what they normally grew up for is Buddhism and all that they were involved in, but they wanted to modernize and be like the Western culture. And people, folks, I'm telling you, it was sad to see how these people had adopted to the drugs and the alcohol and prostitution and all of the things that went on here in Budapest. And one of the great things that I can say that I remember about Budapest, there was a McDonald's and a Kentucky Fried Chicken right here in Budapest, and we could go into there and get chicken and pizza. And as we went there, we would get chicken and pizza and take the Brother Carl Manning and his family here in Oradea, because that was a great treat for them to be able to have just a taste of America, to go in there and see what God was doing in Oradea. And in Oradea, it was one of the primary places here in Romania that God has used us as a church here in Germany to help funnel through money that was coming from the States and bringing the monies and the supplies and material that we were able to take to Oradea, to the Manning family that was here in Oradea. And they had started building what they called a city church there. And there was great things going on in that city. But around that city, there was many little villages that we were able to go to. Brother Gil Berry and I was able to go to and go in and preach to these villages and these small pockets of people that were around Oradea here and share the gospel with them. And I tell you, folks, it would grip your heart when you see and meet these people that were there and how they were thirsty and had a desire for the word of God. I remember going into some of the churches and some of the buildings that these people would meet in, and it was so cold in there. You know how when it's so cold that you could almost see your breath coming from you. And as you're talking and you're speaking, and we wrapped up in blankets and wrapped up in long underwear, all of the stuff that we were trying to wear to stay warm. But, you know, those people would flood those buildings and those places. And not only there was only enough space that they could meet on the inside, but people were willing to stand on the outside to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think about today and how we were involved in that and how God touched my heart about the importance of being involved in missions giving, because we'll never know that, like we've already heard here today, we heard last Sunday night, we heard in the last couple of weeks, there are going to be people in heaven that's going to be there because we were willing to give to a missionary that was involved in Aradia here that had established many churches around this major city here, pockets and villages of people that was affected by the gospel. I never forget one of the orphanage that was there. One of his daughters used to go to the orphanage every day to visit some of the kids that were there. And I was sharing with some of the young people, they don't even understand and understand the importance of how blessed they are to be in a free country and have the facilities and have the blessings of a parents that love them and raise them and want to make sure they're in the right environment. You know, one of the things that they do in Romania for their young kids when they're born, there's so many of them that are born. What some of the parents do, they maim their children and make them beggars, trying to beg and get money for to support them and their families. And I remember one little boy that was there. His name was Lotzi. And Lotzi was one of the kids that was in the hospital there, the orphanage there. And the Mannings adopted him. And I remember on one of the missionary trips that we went from Germany and went into Romania, as we went there, one of the trips that we made there, Brother Gil and I, we decided when we got here to the base that y'all used to go to, Pastor, for the hospital? What's it again? Landstuhl. As we got into Landstuhl and we stopped there in Landstuhl that went down into here before you get to Stuttgart, we stopped in there and bought him a bicycle. We just wanted to do something special for Lotzi. Because if you ever met Lotzi, he was a wonderful little boy, very precious. And one of the things I remember that was so sad about Lotzi, that his parents, when he was young, they used to tie his diaper so tight that it cut off his circulation. And cutting off his circulations, he had one leg longer than the other. And he was born like that. And he had a bad, bad limp. But when we got to Romania, got to Aradia that year, and we took that bicycle to him, and when we showed him that bicycle was his Christmas gift from Brother Barry and I, Lotzi was, I'd never in all of my life seen a little boy that was so excited about a bicycle. And it just broke my heart. And he wasn't even probably able to ride it yet because he had one leg that was longer than the other. But I tell you what, the joy that was on his face was a joy in my heart. And I never forget that. And it touched my heart in such a way that I want to share tonight from this area of scripture. Let's turn the lights back on. There's many, many stories that I could share along the way about all of the things that we experienced as we went from here all the way down into to Aradia, and all of the changes, as you can see, if we get down there, if you ever go to Aradia and go there to Romania, it was like going back into the 1940s. It was such a dark, gloomy looking place that it was almost remind you of, if you see some of the old historical movies that were made back probably in the 40s, it was so gloomy and dry, and it was black, and it was just dusty, dirty, and dark as we went there. And I just want to share some things tonight about when it comes to giving and giving to God, you can't outgive God. And I believe that Paul was rejoicing because here it was a church that was involved in giving to him. As I said earlier, the title of my message tonight is God, or giving to God, and God will supply all of your needs. And it's not just the monetarial needs that God would meet in your life. When I think about the Apostle Paul and notice some things here that I want to share tonight, Paul was rejoicing because of their contributions. He says in verse 10, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me flourished again, wherein you were also careful that you lack opportunity." One of the things that Paul was telling them, encouraging them, that he was rejoicing because they had continued to give. And, you know, if we're going to reach the world with the gospel, we got to continue to give every year. We ought to ask God, what would he have us to do? Because God doesn't want us to just give one time and stop. God wants us to continue to give to missions, because I believe we need to reach not only the people outside of this door, we got to reach the people around the world, because God wants us to do that as a church. God wants us to do that as individuals. And Paul says here that he was rejoicing in their contributions to him in verse 10, and also in verse number 8, he says, "But I have all and abound, And I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Paul was concerned because the believers at Philippi had a desire to help him, but they were lacking an opportunity to do that. But they wanted to give to Paul, but they had lacked an opportunity because they weren't able to get him the finances that he was needing. But now they have an opportunity by sending Epaphroditus there to take the money that they had collected that they wanted to give to Paul. He says that was his concern, but the circumstances had been there that they couldn't do it now, but because they lack opportunity. And as I said earlier, I remember Gil Berry said that about the opportunity of giving. We took clothes, we took foods, we took supplies, we took all of the things that we thought that the Mannings would need, but also things that we thought that some of the people there in that country could use as well. I remember going there one year. And most of us, we take for granted that we have a bus that'll pick us up. We have brothers and sisters that'll give us rides to get to church. I remember meeting this man who was had no arms or had a little bit of arms, and his arms were cut off probably at the elbow. He had no legs, so this part of his body was cut off. And he had what you call like you would see a masonry or somebody that worked on their hands and knees, and they had the little pads on there so they wouldn't bother their knees. He had these pads on his lower part of his body and on his hands. And this man would travel anywhere from about 4 to 5 miles. That's how he got to church. That's how he got there. And on his stumbles, on his what he used for, what little bit he had of legs and what he had of hands, he would crawl and walk the streets of Aradia and get to the church that he was going to because he wanted to do what? He wanted to hear the gospel. Amen. And I think today so many people that have opportunity to be in the house of God won't even be in the house of God, and they don't have no reason whatsoever not being there. But these people were hungry and thirsty for the word of God. And that again impressed upon me the importance of every year that I asked God to show me what it was that he would have me to do. And I tell you, folks, God always met every need Teresa and I have far beyond anything that we could ever hope, anything we could ever dream of having, and God doing and meeting the needs that we have in our lives. But I want you to notice something I believe that hinders a lot of Christians from giving, because they don't understand how Paul was even writing to this church here about continuing to give. But Paul was writing and telling them about he had learned how to be content. Contentment is one of the greatest gains in the Christian life, when we can learn what contentment truly means. And Paul was talking to them. I think, again, as we look at what Paul was saying, the things that you hear and see in me, I want you to do. And as Paul is writing, he's telling them about the importance of contentment, because he had learned how to be content. And one of the reasons that you and I believe a lot of Christians are not able to give, because they never understood about being content with the things that they already have. Amen. We always want more. And when we want more for ourselves and we become selfish, we can't give to the cause of Christ and for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because all of our funds and all of our activity is wrapped up in the wrong thing. And Paul says contentment, or he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. When you look at verse number 11, he goes on, he says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be what? To be content. And I believe one of the things that would help us as Christians is to be content with the things that we have, so that we be able to give when it comes to giving to missions, and when it comes to giving back to God what rightfully belongs to him, because we can learn how to be content. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For I brought nothing into this world, and it is certain I can carry nothing out. I have food and raiment. Let us therewith be content. When we think about contentment, as Paul is writing to them in chapter 4 and verse number 11, he learned that. And it don't come easily for us to learn when it comes to contentment. I think about contentment here as Paul is writing. You know what? When we learn how to be content, growing up, one of the things that I always think that most Christians, not say Christians, but one of the things that I did was always thought that you had to live for the Joneses. It was always important to have what everybody else has. But I've learned as a Christian, as I've grown in the Lord, to be content more with the things I already have. Because if I really think about it, I look at my own life, I have more than I could ever hope for. and learn how to be content. Contentment here, as Paul is describing it, contentment has the idea of being a peaceful condition. Contentment contentment is not based on how much you possess. Contentment is based on what and where your interests and values are. When we have the right interests and we have the right values, we can be content with the things that we have so that we might be able to do something that's going to help somebody else. If your interests and values are on earthly and money and possessions, you will not be content, for they will not be bring you contentment if you really think about it. There are so many people today who are still never satisfied. Y'all heard about the rich man. You ask him what else would he ever want? He said just one more dollar, because he's not satisfied with that he has. And he's thinking that having another dollar is going to make him happy. It's going to bring more joy in his life. But when we think about Paul is writing here, he says, I have all. I am content. Paul had contentment whether his support was good or whether his support was bad. And that's really what he's talking about. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Look at verse number 12. He says, for I know how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, Paul says he was not only that it was a peaceable thing condition, but it was a persistent condition. I in whatsoever state I am, regardless of the material situation, Paul had an attitude of contentment. Not only was it persistent, but it was prudent condition. I know both how to abase. I know how to abound. In other words, Paul knew how to adjust to every situation. If he was abased, that means he didn't have much. He knew how to survive. In other words, he says, in condition when I abound, it has the idea when he had excess or he had more income or whatever, he learned how to live within that as well. And so when it comes to giving, Paul knew about all of those things. When it came to having, Paul knew about it as well. And that's why he said, I have learned how to be content no matter what the conditions are. You know, as we look at this year and we think about our missions giving, it may have to be some things that happen in our lives that we need to learn how to be content with the things that we have. Because the things that we have, I believe even in my own life, I'm not just speaking to the choir, but I'm talking to myself. I may have to make some sacrifices this year would be well worth carrying out what God would have me to do. Right. And I can be content with the things that I have. I'll be honest, I have more than I could ever dream of. A little country boy growing up, I remember when my brothers, and I think about Paul and what he's saying, I remember when we didn't have anything. And I used to tell people, I grew up when you think about poor, we were so poor, I think the poor in our life had four O's in it. And poor, where you're looking at now, only has two in it. But when I was growing up, it had four in it. My brother, until I got bigger than him, I got the hand-me-downs. And he wasn't that much older than me, but I got the hand-me-downs. Because when you got a hole in your parents didn't have the money necessarily to go to buy you some more. You know what? They used to have those things. I don't know where y'all remember. Brother Serge might remember. Brother Neil. You remember when they used to have holes in your pants and you get a patch and you could iron it on and it would cover up that hole in the knees? You remember that? Amen. That's how poor we were. So you didn't get rid of the britches. You just put some covers on it and iron that patch on it so that it would cover up the holes and you could keep wearing it.
That's right.
And Paul's saying, I learned how to be like that. And when I look back in my own life of the things that I have now, because of the grace of God and how God has blessed me, not only did he save my soul, but God gave me more materially than I could ever hope or dream of. Ms. White probably wouldn't agree with that because she still has. I'm just kidding. But we have more than we could ever hope and dream of that God has blessed us with. Amen. So when it comes to giving, I'm excited about it. Because the more you give to God, the more he gives to you. I think about all of these trips, folks. Let me tell you something else that God did in our lives. When we think about all of these trips, Brother Serge, that we used to make, and people that have been in the military know what I'm talking about. All of those times, we went to Romania probably about four times when I was in Germany, I believe three, maybe four times. And every time that we went, Brother Gil Berry and I, we made it a habit of going every year just about before Christmas so we could take the Mannings some Christmas gifts and some things that the people in the church or from the states that were sent over that came to Germany, we used to take those things into them. And, you know, it's amazing how God uses even the military. Not only did I got saved in the military, but we got permissive TDY from our boss to go to Romania every year. When we say permissive, we didn't have to take leave because the government gave us leave. Permissive. They gave us permission to carry out God's commission by helping missionaries. Think about it. See, my God shall supply all of your needs through Christ Jesus. Because we were willing to give, God gave us opportunity to go at the government's expense when you really think about it. It didn't cost us our time. We were able to go because the military would allow us to go. But not only do we see that it was peaceable, it was persistent, it was prudent, but notice it's a powerful condition when we learn about commitment. Paul says, I can do all things. Look at verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And most people take this really out of context when you really think about it, as Pastor kind of touched on it this morning. Paul is not speaking about the ability to just do anything. What Paul is talking about, the ability to do here, was to understand the importance or the specific ability to adjust to any kind of income or material situation when it comes to being content in our lives. That's what he's talking about. And you know what? When we're willing to give and be content, he says here, as he's talking about, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I know how to abase. I know how to abound. I know what all of those things are. And we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. God can give you the strength to trust him to provide and meet every need that you have when you're willing to give to the cause of Christ. The gospel was being carried forward by Paul because here the church at Philippi was willing to give. And Paul is rejoicing because he had an investment in them because he had been there, taught the gospel, preached the gospel. He was excited and he couldn't thank God enough for these people because of their involvement and how they wanted to be involved in his ministry. So this is where that this text is sometimes taken out of context, but that's what he's talking about. We're going to see another point that's important, too. He was complimenting their contributions. Look at verse number 14. He says, notwithstanding, ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So Paul is telling them and he's complimenting them. Look at verse number 18. But I have all. Why? Because of your giving, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice that was well pleasing to God. It was an excellent thing when Paul was talking about. When we think about excellent, I don't think that any missionaries, I know the Scots were here this morning, but I was thinking about them. Paul is saying, you have done well. We do well when we give to support the gospel. We do well. But notice not only do we do well, but it's excellent because it is well pleasing to who? It's well pleasing to God that we would give when it comes to supporting getting the gospel around the world. Folks, it can't get any better than that. It can't get any better than that. And the exception here in this giving here, no church communicated with Paul. In other words, nobody was willing to contribute to his ministry but this church. He says, but ye only. They were the only church that was willing at this time to be involved in what Paul was doing. And a lot of times I think people look at it and think there was something wrong with what Paul was doing because you think about somebody in prison. Most people are not going to be supportive of somebody that's in prison. They're not going to do that. But I believe they knew what Paul stood for. I believe they knew what Paul was doing, that God had called him to be where he was. Paul was not only in prison for anything that he did that was wrong. The only thing was wrong that he was preaching the gospel, which was right that they needed to hear, but they didn't believe that they needed to hear that. And there were people still willing to support him in spite of the conditions that he was in because they believed in what he was doing. And there was an exception here. And you know what? We can be a good performer or we can be a poor performer. And if we don't give this year, we may have to make some adjustments, but we ought to be willing to give and see what God does with what we do give. Amen. We don't want to be poor givers. We want to be excellent givers. We want to be the exception to the rule. We want to be involved in what is, again, what I say, what is the heartbeat of God when it comes to giving.
That's right.
You can't outgive him. And if it was, they did well and it's well pleasing to God, I believe the same thing is true for us today. It's well-pleasing to God that we would be involved in giving. Because that's what he wants us to do. That's what he's called us to do. And folks, you know what? We have an opportunity to make a difference. We have an opportunity to make a difference. Let's not squander this opportunity to give to God above and beyond our tithe. See, Paul is not talking about the tithe. Paul is talking about a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God. If we're willing to do without the baby Ruth, I might just have to give up my chocolate-coated peanuts or something. Amen? Y'all will catch that after a while. I may have to give up some of those things. But you know what? It's all right. It'll probably help my waistline a little bit too. And it'll probably help my health some. And whatever we're willing to sacrifice, you know what, it's really not much when you think about the greatest sacrifice
Amen.
That was made. Because it's going to have a part in furthering the gospel. And that's what we want to do as a church. That's what we want to do collectively as individuals. We want to be involved in what God wants us to do. And it's a great example that Thessalonians sent. He says in verse number 16, he says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once, and again, unto what? My necessity. And it was Paul said, he's speaking here. This was a great example. They gave once and again. Again, they continue to give. So they were involved here. But notice his concern. Look at verse number 17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire what? Fruit that may abound to your account. I think about that young man who crawled to the church to hear the gospel. I tell you about another thing that touched my heart while I was there. Was to see, we went to a Brother Gill, like I said, we went there several times. And I think I mentioned this one time before. You might have forgotten it. I remember going to preach. You preach a preacher at 8 o'clock. You preached at 11 o'clock. Then there was another place to go to at 6 o'clock. So in between the mid-morning service that we would be in and preaching and speaking there, we would have lunch, and then we'd go into another church. So you had to go about three times and preach. You preached all day.
Amen.
And you were involved in preaching and sharing the gospel. And I remember one afternoon we went to this lady's house, and she had a table there, and she had it spread out. She had a nice spread of food, and Brother, the missionary that we was with shared with Brother Gill and I that what that lady had set before us was probably almost a year's wages of food that she had prepared for us. But she was willing to sacrifice that because she wanted to accommodate us because of why we were there. Why wouldn't you want to give to people that are willing to do that? That takes a lot for them to do that. But she wanted to be hospitable to us. And I tell you right now, I ate something that I don't even know what it was that I ate. And it wasn't the greatest tasting thing. But you know what? I ate it anyway.
Amen.
Because I didn't want to offend her because maybe it wasn't steak. Maybe it wasn't collard greens. Y'all can get hungry now. Maybe it wasn't fried chicken. Maybe it wasn't apple pie. Maybe it wasn't corn on the cob. But it was what she could give because of her appreciation for us being there to share the gospel at the church that we had gone to. And she wanted to provide a meal for us. Amen. And what Paul is saying here, not that he desired a gift, but Paul is saying that his concern was that they would have fruit to their account. See, Paul wanted them to be involved, and everybody or every soul that ever got saved under his ministry, they had a part in it. And I think about Pastor Kraft was talking about even from Spain and in Germany and here in the States and back to Germany and going over to Japan and all of the churches and all of the times that we were supporting him as missionaries. Think of all of those numbers of people that got saved. You know what? That's to our account. And not just there in his ministry, but you, Brother Neil and his wife and I, we were looking at the board out there. And think of all of the missionaries and all of the organizations of the people that are out there on that board that we support.
That's right.
We're going to have people that are going to be in heaven one day because that's going to be fruit to our account. And Paul wanted them to understand what was going to happen if they gave to his ministry or gave to the furtherance of the gospel. There's going to be souls in heaven one day because of our giving.
Amen.
What a joy. Because let me say this. When we think about all that we have, you know, none of that we can take with us.
That's right.
The only thing that we can take out of this world is souls that we reach for the glory of God that will be in heaven one day, because all that's here one day is going to be gone. And we can't take any of it with us at all anyway. But we ought to be willing to sacrifice. We ought to be willing to do our part, because people's souls is something that you and I can have a part in because we are willing to give. So Paul here was telling them that he wanted a fruit to abound to their account. He was confirming their contributions. Look at verse number 18. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Well-pleasing to God. My God shall supply all of your need. Paul is saying, I'm full. Paul was faithfully acknowledging their gifts. And one of the things that Brother Scott even said to me this morning before he was going out, we thank God for y'all's gifts of giving to our ministry.
Amen.
Before I say anything else. You know, I appreciate that when it comes to our missionaries. The ones that we do have come here, because they are appreciative. And most of them, if they're worth anything, would say they need our prayers more than they need our money.
Amen.
But if we want to give to them, give prayer also, but give financially, because that's going to abound to our account so that they'll be able to buy the materials. They'll be able to support their families in reaching the gospel. And to fail to acknowledge the gifts and speaking of it with ingratitude is probably one of the saddest things that we can see that missionaries would do. And I pray that none of the missionaries that we support would be like that. At least none of them that I've met personally have that kind of thing. But notice not only he shows his confirming their contributions, but notice also the compensation for their contributions. He says here in verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying here? Saints that were involved, your needs. Paul is speaking to a specific group of people. God is not asking the world to contribute. He's asking the saints of God to be the contributors to his work. As Pastor said before, we're not going to sell hot dogs. We're not going to sell. You know, when we grew up in the country, I don't know if y'all remember it, but we used to grow the church. Our church, they used to sell pig feet plates. They were pretty good. And they would take that money, and they said they were giving it to missionaries, but I don't know. They said they were. They had a missions board that handled the money, but I never met a missionary that they said we were supporting. But I could tell you some other stories about that. But that's not what God is asking us to do. God is saying his people who are called by my name. God wants us to be involved. So the saints, he says, your need. First, the people in this conversation was primarily the people at Philippi. And notice why Paul could say this. Paul could say this because of these people were the ones that God is going to meet their needs because of what? Because of their giving. And people, again, take it out of context because they say, my God should supply all you need. God is going to supply the needs of these people at the church of Philippi. God is going to supply the needs of the people in the churches in the United States and this church alike. God is going to supply all of your needs when you're doing what they did.
Right.
That's where the promises to those people that are doing like those that were at the church of Philippi. That's what that verse is talking about. It's not talking about just anybody. But people use it because they want to believe that God is going to supply their need. You know, one of the saddest things is that Christians don't give their tithe. If you don't learn to give your tithe, you'll never give beyond that.
Amen.
And you can't give the missions and say that you're doing something to claim that verse if you're not giving your tithe, first of all. Because you're still a God robber. God doesn't bless God robbers.
That's right.
There might be some good things that happen, but in order for us to claim that promise, we have to be doing what they were doing. They were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to give to the ministry and the furtherance of the gospel. So my God will supply all of your need.
Right.
And what I'm saying tonight, folks, God has met every need far and beyond anything I could ever hope and dream in my life. And it all hasn't been financially. He's blessed me with a wonderful wife, two kids that we saw go to college, two kids that we saw in a Christian school. He blessed us with good preaching, good teaching. We've been in great churches all of our Christian life, really. Teresa and I, since we got saved. We were in so many, but we was in the one that Teresa was a member of. It was pathetic. Nobody was getting saved. They weren't preaching the gospel. I went to church all of my life, and I never heard a clear presentation of the gospel till I went to Spain. And the reason I heard it was because there was a missionary there that was preaching the gospel, and it pricked my heart and it pricked my soul when he got to every end of the message. If you were to die today, do you know for 100% sure that you go to heaven? You know what? I never heard that in my life, but it convicted me. And I got saved. And God changed my life. And God showed me about giving my life to him. And when you give your life to God, you know what comes with it? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. When God got your bodies, we were telling to the young people, when God got your body, you know what? That pocketbook is in it too.
That's right.
Amen? Unless you don't carry one. Women carry a purse, but you know what? You carry it on your arm, it's on your body. And that ought to belong to God too. So he wants all of us, not just our hearts. I mean, not just our money. God wants our heart, because when we give out of a heart of love for God and be willing to be a part of what is important to God, he's going to meet all of our need according to his riches. And the source of his riches is in glory. Jesus Christ stepped out of the heaven's glory to come to this earth and die on a cross for your sin and for my sin. That we could be part of the greatest riches in all of the world are in heaven for the Christians who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and when I come again, I'm going to receive you unto myself.
Amen.
That where I am, there you may be also. He's going to prepare a mansion for us. I don't know what it's going to be like, but you know what? God ain't never made no junk. It's always made. Everything that God ever made is good. And when he saved your soul, he made something out of nothing. When you really think about it. You know, one of the things, and I'm going to say this in closing, that really brought my, arrested my heart is to think about it. That all of the times that all of us that were in the military, God is so good. We go overseas and get involved in a missionary church because we travel on government money. They move our household goods. They move our whole baggage. They move our families. They take us over there. They took me over there to a place called Turtle Home, Spain. It ain't on that map. But you know what? It was where God needed me. That's where I needed to go. It's amazing that we had to leave the confines of the United States to go over to a place called Turtle Home, Spain, to hear the gospel and get saved. I think about when Pastor just mentioned the halls. You know, it's a full circle. They leave North Carolina. They come out here. come out here to a church that was planted by somebody that came from North Carolina to start a church in Belgium and bring a pastor here to preach the gospel. Y'all come here and hear it, get saved. And he came from North Carolina by way of Belgium. And somebody else came from Joliet, you know, Illinois. Nobody wants to go there, amen. Joliet, Illinois, and take him over to Belgium. And you got, and here we are this afternoon sitting in a church that God called a missionary to start a church and give you a pastor. God called a missionary to go to Terrejón, Spain to give you an assistant pastor. God is just good like that.
Amen.
He's going to meet your need. And I want to challenge you this month, tonight. Don't be afraid to whatever God asks you to do when it comes to finances. Don't be afraid to give it. Trust him. Because I'm telling you, God will supply all of your needs through Christ Jesus. And our source and our salvation and everything is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the benefits of heaven are yours and ours, or yours and mine, because of Jesus Christ. Don't you want to be involved in the gospel? Paul said, continue. He's rejoicing because here's a church that meant so much to him. And he was confident that God, which had begun a good work in you, is able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until Jesus Christ comes again, Paul believed that this church was that kind of a church. And I believe he's encouraging us tonight. And I hope to be an encouragement to you. It has been an encouragement to me, because I can't think of anything that would be more pleasing to know that what we give is an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I don't know about you, when I take a breath and breathe in, I want to smell something good. I don't want to smell nothing horrible. But our offerings ought to be a sweet smell in the nostrils of God and be well-pleasing to him when it comes to this year giving to missions and giving to the gospel going out. What about you tonight? Pray about what God would have you to do this coming year. I'm praying about it, and I'm asking God to allow me to trust in just a little bit more. One of the things when we were overseas in Germany, Teresa and I, we got what everybody go with, we got cola. And out of the cola that we got, we were able to give more to missions. And so when we come back to the States, we didn't have the cola. But I said, God, you know what? I don't want to go backwards in my giving to missions. I want to go forward. So even that which we had that was cola, I wanted to still give the same amount. I wanted to stay at that base so that I wouldn't go backwards. I want to move forward. So every year, God has allowed me to increase my missions giving. And I thank God for that. Because I believe that the more we grow as a Christian, and one of the greatest blessings of serving God is that you ought not just grow in your knowledge of him. That is important too. But you ought to grow in your faith and trusting him to provide for you. Because you know what? I just celebrated 60. You know what? I'm like that verse says, I've been young and I'm still young and I'm not old. And I haven't seen the righteous forsaken. Y'all get that right? Nor his seed begging bread. I have not in my Christian life. And I haven't had to beg for anything, had more than I could ever dream and hope for, because I want to be involved in what I believe that is important to God, and it ought to be important to you and I to be involved collectively as a church, that we can continue to support the furtherance of the gospel, that this church can carry out the great commission that God has called us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we have received power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And we shall be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and into what? Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world. That's powerful prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. And thank you for your blessings. God, thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house and be under the sound of their preaching and teaching of your word. And Lord, I know that nothing was said here tonight that we probably haven't heard when it comes to our Christian walk. But I think a lot of times, even as Christians, we tend to take for granted the blessings that we have and the things that we have because of who you are. And I hope tonight, Lord, that the message has been an encouragement to our church and fellow believers and brothers and sisters in Christ as we go into our missions conference, Lord, that you have already prepared our hearts with what we can do this coming year. And maybe even through this week, we might be strengthened, we might be encouraged to do just a little bit more. And God, I know as a Christian, I want to be involved in what you have love for, and that is lost souls. And I pray that each one here tonight, under the sound of my voice, will have that same desire, that we can do it individually, but we can also do it collectively as a church. And Paul was encouraging and rejoicing because of this church at Philippi was involved in carrying forth the gospel. And I pray that we will tonight as well be involved this upcoming year and reaching this community, but not only this community, but also carrying forth the message around the world. Let's all stand at our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, and maybe no one looking around, and maybe God has spoken in your heart. We're going to ask Miss Natasha to play a hymn of invitation. If God has spoken in your heart about something that has been a blessing and encouragement to you, you want to come and pray and ask God to help you to be more involved if you haven't already been. Maybe God will speak to our hearts tonight about doing just a little bit more. You know, I know that Paul was excited and rejoicing because of this church at Philippi. And he had gone through a lot of struggles in his life, but when you look back in your own life, and he looked back in his life, he could see a church that was committed to supporting him and helping carry forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we would get a glimpse of that as Christians, as individuals. But maybe there's someone here tonight, Lord, that's not 100% sure of heaven being their home. You really can't give sacrificially that would be acceptable and well-pleasing to God unless you give your hearts to God. God wants that first, that you would be saved and come to know Christ as Savior. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what it is about, reaching our Jerusalem. That's what it's about, in reaching around the world, is to get the gospel to people that are not sure that heaven would be their home. Maybe you're here tonight, you let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you want to be part of this local body of believers and be involved in what we are looking forward to doing as a Christian collectively in this church. Let God speak to your heart. Prepare us for this week. And ask God to work in our midst and in our hearts, that we can be in our places each night here this week, unless we're providentially hindered from being here, that we would be here because we want to support what God wants us to do in this coming year, that we might be encouraged to do what God would have us to do. I'm going to ask our pastor to come and close and see ever how he sees fit.
Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. You know, as we have this last service before we go into the missions conference starting on Wednesday, you let God speak to your heart as to what you can do. Now, what you can do may not be what someone else can do, but only you can do what you can do. And you ask God, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? Paul rejoiced that the Philippian church could take care of him, but he was more concerned about the fruit that would abound to their account. It wasn't about monetary, it was about spiritual things. And he was excited that they would just take a little bit of time to give towards him. How much you can give is not such as a big issue as what you're going to give from the bottom of your heart. Just let God speak to your heart. Paul said, I've learned whatever state I am therewith to be content. We may have to give and sacrifice. Some of us may give out of our abundance. Some may give with supernatural faith. It's rare, but it could happen. I take my life and let it be. Dr. Baldwin will be here next week, and come this time next Sunday, we'll have determined what we're going to do for the cause of Christ and worldwide evangelism. And so you let God speak to your heart. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I do pray that you would look within each one of our hearts. And Lord, although our numbers may not be huge, Lord, you've never been interested once again in numbers, but you've always been interested in our faith and our heart and what we want to give to you. And Lord, one person can do some great, marvelous things for the cause of Jesus Christ. So use us, Lord, and give through us. And Lord, we trust that as we look at grace giving, that, Lord, you would make all grace abound to us, that we having all sufficiency in all things, Lord, we can abound to every good work. Thank you so much for loving us. Continue to work in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.